Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Yesterday, I went to a family gathering for my nephew's birthday, and so went on a drive over to Underhill, where my sister and her family live now. And I am here to report that, in case you haven't noticed, peak foliage season is definitely over. And the nice, gentle, crisp, but pleasant fall temperatures are most certainly behind us. And yet this psalm, which speaks of the richness and abundance of the harvest of creation, still speaks with such magnificent language that I had to stop and use it this week. I had to hear the words again this week. They're such powerful words. It's as if the psalmist was trying to squeeze every drop of abundance out of the language to get these words in here. The hills are clothed in grain abundantly. The rivers are filled with water. The grasslands in the deserts, the carts overflow. The wagon trails drip with God's abundance. And so it reminds me that at this time of year, when glorious, abundant harvest reaches its peak and then begins its too rapid downward spiral into damp, chilly, almost winter, that we are still called to stop and take note and give thanks, even and especially when the world is at its most drab and sparse. We worship a God of abundance. We see it in the world around us, yes. But can we see it in our lives and in our churches too? Can we see that in our lives we have peaks and valleys? We have times of abundant vibrancy and times when we feel that we are barely scraping by. We have days that we feel like the glory of late September in Vermont, alive with color and richness and abundance, and times when we feel a lot like yesterday, cold and clammy and not a pretty leaf to be seen perhaps anymore. And what would it be like if we took a cue from this psalm and stopped to compose poems of praise, so saturated with thanksgiving that they drip it, so filled with the awareness of God's abundance that we couldn't help but stop and wonder at the very words we had to choose to express it. Are you feeling vibrant and alive with color today? I'm not particularly. That's okay. Can you remember a time when you were feeling that way? Because you see, it's easy to focus in our lives on what we've lost and to feel the emptiness as clearly as we see the empty branches of the trees and their starkness against the autumn sky. And all that once was comes back to haunt us. All those things that we've lost, all those people, all those moments, all those old hurts or not so old hurts. There's a place for that in our faith, in our tradition. There are many places for that in our faith and our tradition. The Psalms are filled not only with these beautiful poems of celebration and thanksgiving, but also songs of lament, where we pour out to God our pain, our grief, our loss. One of the remarkable things I think I've said before for me about the Psalms is that they are often side by side together, one literally pressed against the other when you close the book, these songs of thanksgiving and these songs of sorrow. And so it becomes perhaps Too easy for us, though, to look at the lament, to look at the things we have lost, and to feel the pain and the sorrow. How would our poetry be if we focused on abundance, when and where we could? In not only the beauty of the earth around us, which is easy and tangible to see at times, at least, but in our own lives. The people that we have been blessed with, the friendships, the relationships, the small gifts. The psalmist is describing a harvest that is extravagant and abundant, yes, but is not miraculously over the top. The psalmist is not describing God doing something so extraordinary, so beyond the realm of what we see as normal, ordinary possibility, but giving thanks for those rich blessings that are everyday life. Those moments when we wake up and look at the world around us or our own lives and say, wow, just being here, just being alive this day is a gift, is a blessing, is so rich a blessing words can hardly contain it. In our prayer time, we see this as well, and it's, again, it's important. Our sharing of our prayer concerns together is part of how we trust one another, and we learn the difficult task of entrusting God with our deepest burdens. These are our songs of lament. These are our cries and our tears. But think of the power and the transformation that we witness when even one person shares a story, a moment of thanksgiving, a heartfelt way in which God has brought about transformation in their life. That doesn't always mean that it's happy. Sometimes the transformation that God's brought about in our lives is just to get us through excruciating pain and sorrow. But think about that moment, that testimony, and we hear it from time to time, when one of you can't help but share something powerful that's happened in your week or in the past month or over the course of your life. The story of how God has transformed you and lifted you up and how that changes the whole room, everyone who hears it. These are our songs, our poems of thanksgiving. One story, one life changed by God in ways big, but also in ways so small we might miss it. Truly, God crowns us with bounty, just as God crowns the year with bounty. And what about our church? Our local church, Trinity, and, you know, the church, the global movement of Christianity, if you will. It's easy to look at what we've lost. It's easy to look back 40, 50, 60 years and remember a time when Christendom, right, the idea that Christianity was just the culture, when Christendom was the way, when it was assumed and presumed that everyone went to church and found it meaningful, and that was a good thing. It's easy to look back at times when all of these pews were filled with people. Times I hear about when the Sunday school was as big as the congregation is now. And sing a song of lament for what we've lost. Because we do feel it as a loss. Now, I think there were 9 or 10 kids here today. Would we not count that as bounty? Did you hear their songs of thanksgiving and praise? Did you see the joy on their faces as they shared their songs and the motions that went with them with all of you? And that's just one example. I'm sure there were times when the people in this room were 2, 3 times as many. And yet the gift of each of you here today is still a bounty. It's easy to see the empty spaces, just like it's easy to see the bare branches on the trees. But can we also see God's bounty, God's abundance in and through who we are right now. Because I believe that God is calling us. God is calling and using us in ministry in this community and in the world. We do great work for God. And in many places in the Bible, that's called harvest, right? The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. The work that God is calling us to do, the harvest that God is asking us to participate in is great. We may feel like we are few in laborers, few in number. But we are still crowned with God's bounty in ways no more or less miraculous than the turning of the seasons, than the harvest of the grain and the vegetables, than the brilliance of the foliage. And even after it has passed, we know that yet another season is ahead of us, yet another time when we are called to serve in different and in other ways, and the cycle of creation continues in the earth, in our lives, in the life of the church. We talk about the task that we are working on, the program that we're trying to unfold now for Trinity. And we kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheekly, we were trying to come up with something like Trinity Rebooted or Reborn or Recreated or all of these things. And someone shouted out, recycled. And that's what we went with, right? Well, yes, it's sustainability, which is important. It speaks to a kind of frugality, of recognizing that we work with what we have. But for me, it also speaks to that cycle of life, the abundance of the harvest that is not a finished end, but that gives way to the glittering beauty, at least for a time, of the winter season, and will again give way to spring and to a vibrant summer and to an abundant harvest in the fall. And so too in our lives, those times of sorrow and bareness, of scarcity, come again and again, and then somehow cycle into new hope, new life, new joy, as the seasons in our lives change. And so too the seasons change in the life of a church, where we see brilliance and abundance, sometimes right in front of our eyes, sometimes we have to look a little harder for it. But the cycle continues, and out of what was a harvest comes perhaps a time of scarcity and then a time of new life, new birth, new hope, and a vibrant summer and an abundant harvest. And so we pray. We pray that God is at work in us. In us as a people, in us as a church, in ways as miraculous as the seasons, in ways as world-changing as resurrection. That as we cycle through the seasons of our lives and the seasons of our life as a church, that we are looking for and celebrating and singing our songs and composing our poems of thanksgiving and praise for the abundance that we have, gift from God. And that we are rejoicing that each harvest points to a new cycle of life and vitality, of ministry, of resurrection promise. Let us go from this place with joy and thanksgiving. The harvest is upon us, and we are called to labor in it. Thanks be to God. Amen.